The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Today is Palm Sunday, and it's the beginning of our journey into Holy Week. The mission statement of St. Stephen's United is a deceptively simple one. It's to follow Jesus Christ. And I say deceptively simple because while that's relatively easy to remember, the following isn't without its challenges. In the Gospels, Jesus repeatedly calls upon people to follow him. And so this week, we are following him on his journey to the cross on Good Friday. We will be making some stops along the way, and I will tell you a little more about that later on in the service. But for the moment, it's Palm Sunday, the day on which Jesus and his disciples make a triumphant entry into the capital of Israel, into Jerusalem. The crowds, they go wild. And traditionally, we attempt to join that enthusiastic response by doing a couple of different things. We sing songs which have the word Hosanna in them. Hosanna meaning save us. Likewise, there's the waving of the palm branches. It's been our practice at St. Stephen's to every other Palm Sunday to also take a look into the week ahead and do some anticipation of where this Holy Week journey seems to end. And so we give that a double-barreled name. We call it Palm Passion Sunday. And this is one of those years. And you'll see more on that in just a little while. Let's begin with our first reading for the day. Palm Sunday, as remembered by the Gospel writer Matthew, beginning at chapter 21. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Let's join together in the call to worship.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. O give thanks to the Lord, for God is good, for God's steadfast love endures forever.
Sisters and brothers, let us pray. O merciful God, as we contemplate the awful journey of our Lord Jesus from life into death to bring life, help us to look into and comprehend more deeply this painful truth. As this week unfolds, strengthen us to stand with the women at the foot of the cross. Let it become more real to us. God, we are yours. Amen. Our second Bible reading today is also taken from Matthew's Gospel. This one is from Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two of you do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So he released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified.
Good morning, everyone. I want to say it's lovely to see you all, but somehow that doesn't seem quite right, does it? I will say, though, that it is lovely to think of you all listening. While we can't be together physically to worship this morning, it is wonderful to know that we can gather around God together in spirit. And so, yes, it is good to be together, even in this scattered way. Well, this is my first stab at online preaching, and I have so appreciated being able to hear and see Phil for the last two Sundays. And I have to tell you that now that I'm trying this out, I have an even higher appreciation of the work he's done in the last couple of weeks. But man, this is different. Very different from preaching together in the sanctuary. When all of this began, Phil and I divided up what we felt were the most immediate duties. And so he took the weight of getting these Sunday services up and running, while I moved to creating and posting online daily devotionals. I do hope you've had a chance to check out the devotionals. With the exception of Sundays, we post something every day, a new devotional to the church website. And they come in a variety of forms, and that's because we hope that there will be something there that connects in some way with everyone, in all the different ways we tend to connect with God. This last Monday, I chose a prayer that was actually written as a liturgy. Throughout that prayer, we repeat the same refrain, some familiar words from Psalm 130. "My soul waits for the Lord. more than the watchmen wait for the morning. This cry that we are waiting for the Lord, it echoes throughout the whole prayer. And it felt fitting for us right now. Because to me, it seems like we are in this time when we're all waiting. Waiting for some good news. Waiting to hear that this pandemic spread is slowing. Waiting for a vaccine. And waiting for that time when we are able to be together again with friends and family, and yes, together as a church family. More than ever in my own memory, the world is waiting. And as God's people, we bring a particular nuance to our waiting because our waiting focuses on God and our hope that God will save us in this. Well, that whole idea of waiting for God to save us, it's actually a helpful bridge for us today. It connects us with those people we just heard about in the very first scripture reading, the ones who were cheering and welcoming Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. These were people who had been waiting themselves. That's why they cried out, Hosanna. Hosanna is quite literally a word of prayer and a word of praise to God, that it means save us, we pray. It is as good a word for us to be saying and singing together today as it was for them on that day. Hosanna. Those people had been waiting a long time for the Messiah God had promised, a new godly king who, with God's help, would save them from their enemies. Now, for most of the Israelites at that time, their greatest enemy was the Roman Empire. It was Israel's hope that one day God would finally send a king to save them from the Romans, who had been occupying Israel at that point in time for nearly 100 years. So when they cried, save us, we pray, most people were hoping that this rabbi prophet, this Jesus of Nazareth, was really that new king. And he was about to defeat the Romans and deliver them to their freedom at last. So you can see why they would have been cheering. He had arrived, and victory must be just around the corner. Their waiting was over. But as we heard in this story, it didn't end with that triumphant entry, did it? We heard that in our second reading, that scene from that rigged trial Jesus was given before Pilate. The events of that day remind us that not everyone was cheering on that Palm Sunday. Some of the Jewish religious leaders didn't share people's great joy over Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem. For the chief priests and the elders, it was not good news. In fact, for them, it was actually the opposite. Very, very bad news. Now, there were lots of complicated reasons why, including the fact that he posed a very direct threat to the tenuous peace they had negotiated with the Romans, a peace that allowed the Jewish people to still practice their faith, even in that land that had been claimed by Caesar. A troublemaking Messiah king might shake that peace to the point that the Romans would crack down hard. A troublemaking Messiah king could mean that life was about to get very bad in Jerusalem. And so those leaders decided that they needed to stop him. Well, in terms of emotions, these two readings read side by side like this, they don't really seem to kind of fit together very well. But that discordance actually, it speaks to a reality we all know very well right now. The fact that there are times when life really does feel kind of like a roller coaster. One day things kind of seem to be ticking along and going well. And then the next day, some news comes that changes everything. In Jerusalem, that week had begun with people having the sense that their freedom was right around the corner. It was shaping up to be a high point in Israel's history. But in just a few days, things had changed into this dark scene of injustice, with their long-awaited Messiah standing in silence, accepting a verdict of death that was being demanded by the very people he'd come to save. Well, watching that dramatic shift come and come so quickly, people must have thought that something had gone terribly wrong. They were waiting for victory. They were waiting for the Jesus they had seen toss the tables in the temple. But instead, the Jesus they got just stood there. He didn't defend himself. He didn't object to the sham of the trial. He was remarkable because of what he didn't do. Apart from that one cryptic response to Pilate's question, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus didn't say anything. Jesus, the Messiah, God's own son, God in human flesh, was silent. And those who had placed their hopes in him, they were left in much the same place as we are now, waiting for God to move, to speak, to save them. But at that trial, it didn't appear that God was doing that. Now, we all know that despite how things appear in one particular moment, or even in one particular news headline, there's usually more to the story, isn't there? There's often more going on than we can see, and there's always more to come. And so today we can hold on to that. These Palm Sunday readings remind us that God is indeed moving, even when it might seem to us that he's not. For his followers, Jesus' arrest and trial must have felt like their hoped-for victory had dissolved before their eyes. And we know that that must have been a crushing blow for them, so much so that it caused them to forget something he'd said to them only a few days before. As they had been approaching Jerusalem, he'd actually prepared them for this. He'd taken them aside and personally told them how it was all going to play out. He said, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. on the third day, he will be raised to life. Despite how it seemed, and even more, despite how it must have felt in those moments as that terrible trial played out, something hadn't gone terribly wrong at all. Quite the opposite. It was all unfolding exactly as Jesus had told them it would. Of course, from this side of the crucifixion, we know this. We know that things weren't actually going wrong. In fact, they were being put right. They'd been waiting for Jesus to defeat the Romans, but it turned out that he was taking on an enemy far worse than that. In these strange events, God in Christ was taking on the greatest enemy of all. He was taking on death. And friends, perhaps now, more than ever for most of us, our greatest hope is in the proof we have that he won. He won that battle. Jesus' resurrection is our physical evidence and our deep assurance that death has been defeated, and that because Jesus rose on that third day, we can too. It is also our reminder that when things seemed the darkest, the best was still yet to come. So yes, as we celebrate on this rather strange Palm Sunday, we are waiting. And it is right to wait and to pray for God to move, for God to save us. But as we wait and as we pray, let's also let Holy Week do its work in us. As we journey through this week and remember all that it held, the painful goodbyes, the arrest, the trial, the crucifixion, and the wonder of the empty tomb, I pray that the Holy Spirit would build a deep assurance in each of us that God's silence does not mean he isn't doing anything. In his silence at that trial, God was actually doing the most important work he will ever do. He was and is saving us from the greatest enemy any of us have. And he was and is saving us for the most incredible hope, abundant life, healed, whole, and unending. Remember what Jesus said to his dearest friends on the night before he was arrested. He told them, "Because I live, you will live." That was his promise to them. That is his promise to us. And to that we can only say, thanks be to God. Amen.
This morning our prayers have been prepared and are being delivered by our sister Denise Masson-Cormier. So, over to you, Denise.
Good morning, friends. I feel much gratitude for the opportunity to present to you today in a way that is new to all of us. Like many of you, I've been missing coming together, singing songs of praise, passing the peace, and being together in our home church. We're in this together, learning how to stay together while staying apart. This past week, there's been a scripture verse that has been on my mind and on my heart. As I spent time in prayer, I feel that I'm to share it with you today. It comes from Psalm 118, verse 24, and I'll read it from my Bible. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Given the current situation with the global pandemic, which has created a new normal for all of us, the scripture may not be the first one that comes to mind in times of uncertainty at every level and fear and anxiety. I'd encourage each and every one of us to focus on the blessings that God is giving us each day. I'm sure there are days when the last thing we feel is rejoicing. Our mood may be down, our situation feels out of hand, and sorrow can be overwhelming. When you don't feel like rejoicing, tell God how you really feel. You'll find that He'll give you a reason to rejoice. God has given you this day to live and to serve Him. Father, Abba, as we come before you today with gratitude, we make these prayers. We give gratitude for the example of Jesus, who teaches us to love our neighbors and serve those around us. Please open our eyes to new visions and ways to serve. We pray for all those who are suffering in the many, many ways that this pandemic has created. We lift to you all those who are on the front lines and their families. May they be given health, peace, and love. Also, for those who work tirelessly behind the scenes to keep our healthcare facilities functioning. Thank you for the opportunity to expand our hearts into the communities through your grace. We petition concerns that are close to our hearts for the lonely, hungry, homeless, addicted, and those facing mental illness who are all losing their supports that have helped them cope. We give thanks to everyone who is creating new ways to support the vulnerable and lift them to you. We pray for the families, the children, and youth in our communities who are all experiencing this pandemic in their own ways. I pray for families that come together, not be pushed apart. We pray for our world leaders, leaders of our country, our provinces, and municipalities, that they seek your will in the decisions that they're entrusted to make at this time. I pray your will be done. Although the world pandemic has overtaken the public news, help us to remember, Lord, all those who have been suffering in other ways, coping with natural disasters, war, oppression. Lord, we lift them to you. Please join me as we take a moment to pray in our hearts for the persons and circumstances that the Lord has brought to mind. Father, Abba, in this time of isolation, help us to be still and listen for your voice. We give all praise and glory to you for the wonderful gift of life. Let us never take it for granted. Friends, let's seek our blessings for the day. If there are times you find it hard to see the blessings in your day, reach out and be a blessing to another. God's creation continues to amaze us. The budding plants and trees, the colors of spring, the warmth of the sun, the ever-changing seas and the clouds above, the animals coming out of hibernation, and those spring babies entering our world. Friends, God is with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Heavenly Father, we lift our prayers and our petitions with thanksgiving in the name of your precious Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, Denise. And many thanks to those of you who are continuing to support the work of St. Stephen's through your tithes and your offerings. Through pre-authorized remittance, what we call PAR, and through the online giving option that you've found on the first page of our website. As you can imagine, like it is for a good many others around us, these are rather challenging times for us financially. And so we're very, very thankful for this continued expression of your faithfulness. So, as we do each Sunday when we're together, let's join together in praying over the gifts.
Our offering seems so small and insignificant when we contemplate Christ's offering of himself upon the cross for our salvation. Yet we know, Almighty God, that you can take our gifts and do great things to further your kingdom. For this we give you thanks and praise. Amen.
And as we normally do at our services, time for announcements. As I said last week, it's important to keep checking on the church website for updates and information. It's a really important way of our communicating right now. Yes, there is also the Kids Church online link for us through the Sunday School part of our website. I trust some of you will find that helpful. Our office is physically closed, but we are still connected through the phone and through email, so don't be afraid to call. And call about whatever needs to be called about. Likewise, the church building is closed, and so if you do need entry into the church building for some reason, do remember that an alarm code is required. Being that it's Holy Week, we're about to be doing some Holy Week kinds of things. Starting tomorrow, Holy Monday, as we have in previous years, we'll be having a short lunchtime service, and of course that will be online. And you'll be able to access this through a couple of different places on the website. That will be repeated on Tuesday and also on the Wednesday. We'll also be having, as we normally do, a Maundy Thursday service in the evening. That will begin at 7 p.m. as well. It's a communion service, and so we'll be providing some instruction on how you might want to choose to participate. Of course, there will be a Good Friday service at the regular time at 11 a.m. And there will be a celebration, of course, of the resurrection on Easter Sunday. That service time it'll begin at sunrise. And of course, all those times mentioned are available after the service is initially posted. So if you miss the time, it will still be there for you. Hope you were able to join us for our opening hymn this morning. If not, I'd encourage you to do so a little later. It's a good Palm Sunday hymn, I thought. After I offer the blessing, I would encourage you to go to the closing hymn that we've also linked on our web pages. It's a fine rendition of a really good Holy Week hymn. And now the blessing. I have found the following to be a rather heartening biblical text over my years of being a disciple. It's from the first chapter of the book of Joshua. And Joshua, you remember, is a key figure in Israel's history. And he exhorts his people in this way. He says, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Friends, God is with you. And so until we gather again tomorrow, let us go in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.